Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve, and no music today because we've been having technical difficulties, and we're just I had to reboot the computer, and we're just getting started now. And Pastor Steve, are you there?
Yeah. Here's music. Yeah. Right. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you've been whistling Dixie from that hot chili you've been eating.
still crazy after all these years.
Right.
Yeah, I made some homemade chili tonight, folks, and I got smoke rolling out my ears. Mm-hmm. Just how I like it. Right. There we go.
It's like that teapot whistling, right?
Yes, sir.
So what we got going...
If it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, the chili's not hot enough.
It's not chili.
That's not chili.
It's got the wrong name. It should be hottie, right, instead of chili.
Chili today and hot tamale.
There you go. All right, so we're going to be doing part three of the theological principles of Christian identity. And last time we left off with number 10. But unfortunately, I'm not there yet. I have to go to Anglo-Saxon Israel to get the document. Okay. but first, we want to talk about the, there's this item here from the Smithsonian. I believe Paul and I talked about it briefly on last Tuesday's Fake News Now. But this is really important, and it's an old story. Actually, it goes back to December 12, 2014,
Never heard of.
No, right. And nobody...
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's like this story is totally buried. The Smithsonian Institution admits to destroying thousands of giant human skeletons in early 1900s, okay? And I've double-checked this with numerous other sources. It's got seven or eight major news sources have told this story. So it's
and
not
a fake.
The courts
have got involved in it too,
right? And of course, it's actually the Supreme Court has issued a rule. I'm going to read right here. A U.S. Supreme Court ruling has forced the Smithsonian Institution to release classified papers dating from the early 1900s that proves the organization was involved in a major historical cover-up of evidence showing giant human remains in the tens of thousands had been uncovered all across America and were ordered to be destroyed by high-level administrators to protect the mainstream chronology of human evolution at the time. Okay.
Now, my question is, Eli, this is not a government agency. This is a private institution. How can it classify documents?
I don't know. I thought, isn't it Smith at least funded by the government?
May be funded, but it doesn't have any such authority to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is the evolutionists at work.
That's right. This proves, folks.
The Libby lefties have been working for a long time, not just lately.
Yes,
we've had
years.
Libby lefty libtards for centuries and centuries.
Yes. For 100 years and more, the evolution establishment, which is a totally fake science, it's absolutely fake, it's not scientific whatsoever, and because the Bible teaches that giants did exist in those days, and because the academic establishment, which is actually run by Jews, doesn't want people to believe in the Bible, especially white people to believe in the Bible, they have been preaching lies and suppressing evidence and, again, fake science.
The same when we did the archaeological uncoverings, when we did the shows on that.
Right.
The Israelis are bulldozing sites to prevent any archaeological digs. They've clamped down on anything. They seize all property that goes against their doctrine.
Right.
And have been suppressing evidence. Well, their influence has paid for that suppression here concerning these giants. They don't want the Bible proved true.
That's right.
Because they don't use the Bible. They use the Talmud.
Yeah. And evolution has been such a totally established fiction in all of academia, starting with kindergarten, that that's why this story has been utterly buried.
Well, utterly I don't have buried. Any monkeys in my family tree.
Right.
unless they're hanging from a rope by their neck.
Yeah, right. During the court case, new elements were brought to light as several Smithsonian whistleblowers admitted to the existence of documents that allegedly proved the destruction of tens of thousands of human skeletons reaching between 6 feet and 12 feet in height, and actually more, a reality mainstream archaeology cannot admit to for different reasons.
Well, claimed, didn't that one guy bring a femur bone into the court?
Right, yeah. It was
a great big femur about tall as he was.
That's right, 6 foot femur, which is the leg bone, the upper leg bone, a human leg bone, okay? The turning point
of
the court case...
A leg bone, necessarily human leg.
Well, right. Well, human by me meaning...
humanoid.
Humanoid, yes. In fact, this next paragraph mentions this. The turning point of the court case was when a 1.3-meter-long human femur bone was shown as evidence in court of the existence of such giant human bones. And probably most people listening have seen a photograph of that bone with a human person, and usually a white person, standing next to it. And that femur bone...
Well, they've got photographs of skulls and complete skeletons that they've unearthed in other lands.
Right.
That the Jews couldn't suppress. They've been leaked and they've been publicized. The Bible is true, folks.
That's right.
The Bible is true. The Jews are liars.
Right.
They are the descendants of the father of lies, and it's okay to them. That's what they do.
That's right. That's right.
They have been impersonating us, true white Israel, for a long time, and they're being exposed daily. And they're starting to panic. Their financial resources are crumbling. Governments are refusing to take part in their banking scheme, so they're fomenting war against several nations as we speak because they won't go along with the Jewish banking scheme.
Right.
And they've got all the white Christians in slavery, even though they don't know it. We know it and publicize it that we're in financial slavery to these parasites. And they're panicking. They've been killing people again lately. Just going absolutely crazy. Trying to pass laws saying we're not allowed to criticize them. I mean, just anybody that teaches the true scriptures is in peril from these people. You become a target.
Yes.
Well.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, some of the targets shoot back.
Right. Yeah, we will be shooting back very soon. No doubt about that. All right. The evidence came as a blow to the Smithsonian's lawyers, as the bone had been stolen from the Smithsonian by one of their high-level curators.
Not by some. 1920s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it says 30s. In the mid-1930s, okay. Who had kept the bone all his life, and which had admitted on his deathbed in writing of the undercover operations of the Smithsonian. Okay, folks, we've been telling you here at Eurofolk Radio and in Christian Identity that evolution is a gigantic hoax. That the vast majority of science itself, the purely materialistic sciences, are an elaborate hoax, and it's all crumbling. It's all crumbling.
They're going to get their funding cut off, and they can't have that. Yeah, they're panicking.
Right. Yeah, it's not to say there isn't such a thing as real science. It's just that science is too much of it is fake. And it's all geared toward controlling people. It's not really about knowledge. It's not about knowledge at all, okay? And
it's about suppressing knowledge.
Right, that's right, yeah. The business of science
The Catholic Church, all the books that they have hidden.
Oh, man, yeah. Yes, yes. So that's great news for us that this has come out. It's bad news that the mainstream media has not reported on this, right, at all.
I wonder why.
Yeah, okay. So you can see that the conspiracy to suppress this story is very, very great, okay? All right, now,
they'll report and just hammer and hammer and hammer on some stupid redhead so-called comedian with a fake Trump head.
Right.
That'll be front page news.
Oh, okay.
But anything of import, no, they'll cover it up with just absolute mindless
nonsense.
Drivel that they report as news.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
What football player smacked his girlfriend?
Right.
Please.
Well, that happens every day, doesn't it?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't care the world.
Right. Right. Now, last time, actually, we're going to be doing the Theological Principles of Christian Identity, Part 3. And I'm still loading up programs because I had to reboot just before the show. But we were at item number 10, and I'll post the link to that article real quickly. But we were talking about Romans and Paul talking about grafting in. And the mainstream Judeo-Christians have it all wrong. They claim that Paul is telling us that anybody of any race can be grafted in. And you know, they use his language to try to promote universalism. Okay, so I'm going to start from Romans 11:16, where he says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." He's talking about Israel. He's only talking about Israelites here. Remember, we even talked about. I think it was John chapter 15, where he, on a couple of bloodline shows, where Yahshua talks about, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." Okay, same.
Correct.
Same language. We're talking about Israel here. Verse 17, "And if some of the branches be broken off," okay, so what's the context here? The context is broken off branches.
By apostasy.
Right.
They were under Greek pantheism with all the pantheon of Greek gods.
Right.
They had become Hellenized. They were uncircumcised. They didn't follow through on that. They were living a pagan lifestyle. But they heard the news, the good news of Yahshua Messiah, and we're trying to come back in, not to Judaism, but to the Torah-based
The way.
Teachings of Yahshua Messiah, the religion of Moshe and the elders of Israel in the beginning.
Yes, yes.
With the addition of a risen Redeemer.
Mm-hmm. And I had trouble finding this because the spelling here is graft, G-R-A-F-F-E-D. And I had to hunt around. It's not grafted with a T. There's no T. So if you're searching in your King James Concordance, you might not find it under grafted. You'll find it under graft with a double F. But obviously the context...
Archaic usage of the English language.
Right,
yes.
Right. So the context is clearly broken off branches. It's not branches that are just laying around on the forest floor to be picked up and grafted into the Israel tree. No, these are branches that were once a part of the original Israel tree. It's clearly obvious from the context. And it continues... "And thou, being a wild olive tree," an olive tree, what does olive tree symbol, Pastor Steve, symbolize?
That symbolizes the broken off tribes of Israel.
Right. We are the olive tree. Israel is the olive tree.
We are the olive tree, right, and they are a wild olive tree because they were not worshiping the true worship. They were worshiping a different denomination.
Right. Yes.
And now they are being grafted in among the true, the original religious pious ones of Israel,
mm-hmm.
but they're of the same seed line.
Yes.
They're returning. This is the repentance and the placing as sons that we discussed before.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was the Israel bloodline. Yes, they were in foreign lands. Yes, they had gone into apostasy. Yes, they had a pantheon of gods, but then they heard, as I said, the good news of Yeshua Messiah, and the Holy Spirit spoke to these people as he speaks to the remnant today that is being drawn in. And it says they are grafted in among them. Mm-hmm. They're being grafted to the original olive tree.
Right.
And when they take root grow in among the natural branches that had not gone astray, it says, and they came in to share the root and mm-hmm. fatness of the olive tree.
Right, right.
Well, that's the root. That is Yeshua Messiah, and the root beginnings of the Torah that he preached,
yeah.
and the fatness, that means the benefits of the olive tree that is following Yeshua Messiah. They get the benefits, the salvation and redemption, because they are the seed line of Israel.
Right. Here the concordance states richness, oiliness, fatness, okay, plumpness, okay? So that's what we partake of. Only one kind of tree is mentioned, and that tree is typically symbolic of the Israel nation and no other nation. Wild olive tree here comes from the Greek agri-elias, agri-elias. I'm sure that's where we get the word agriculture from. Agri-elias, an oleaster tree, olive tree, which is wild. And then down at the end of the verse 17, the root and the fatness of the olive tree, that's Elia. Interesting, almost sounds like Elijah. Elijah, mm-hmm. Elia of the Old Testament. Feminine of a presumed derivative from an obsolete primary, an olive tree. Okay, so oleaster is a
same
wild...
root, same yes. root word.
Yes.
It's my.
Yeah, right. So we have a wild olive tree, which is technically an oleaster, and then the olive tree itself. So there's no difference here. It's one and the same genome of tree, okay? We're only talking about
right.
one genome.
And tree, again, is used as people.
That's right, exactly. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay, so he's telling these Israelites, the house of Judah versus the dispersed house of Israel, don't boast one against the other. Because if you do, you're going to lose the fatness that is being promised to you.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
It's not you who is righteous.
Right. It's the root.
It's Yeshua who is righteous.
Yeah. Righteousness. Thou wilt. Right.
Oh. Yeah, demerit for you.
Yeah.
Eli.
Sorry about that. Okay. Thou wilt say then the branches were broken off again. We're talking about broken branches that were broken off the original tree that I might be grafted in. Okay. Well, he says in verse 20, well, because of unbelief, he's clearly talking about the fact that the 10 northern tribes were cast out into the wilderness away from the two-tribed house of Judah. What else could he possibly mean?
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Right. And it continues, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee the goodness, if thou continue in goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And one more instance of graft here in verse 23. Continues. Verse 24. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. So you better give up your unbelief. Better stop believing in evolution, folks. For God is able to graft them in again. Back in. All right? Graft them back in. He's still talking about the original, how should I put it? Refugees. Let's put it that way. Refugees or exiles is better. The original exiles being grafted back onto the olive tree. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Okay?
And then come back to the true worship of Yahweh.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to teach the Judeo-Christians today. You have lapsed into apostianity and have been taught lies by the children of the father of lies. And you need to repent and come back to the worship of Yahweh and call upon his name, not the Lord or Gawad.
Yeah. That's a southern pronunciation. Right? Gawad.
Yeah, G-A-W-D.
Yeah, right. And we're reading the theological principles of Christian identity, which is contained within the article, What is Christian Identity? I just posted the link in there. And we left off at number 10, and that's why we're going into this discussion, because we had begun discussing the grafting in the context of number 10. Okay, so let me just read number 10 again. CI believes in the covenants between Yahweh God and his people Israel, and that the Bible cannot be understood without reference to the covenants. Okay? I have listened to sermons. You know, when I don't think I ever heard a Catholic priest talk about the covenants. If I've heard some Judeo ministers talk about the covenants, but not as a bloodline covenants, okay, the general covenants for that apply to everybody. But the Bible never speaks about these covenants in any other way, which we mentioned, except for the rainbow covenant, which applies to all people on the planet, which only means that Yahweh promised everybody that he would not destroy the world with a flood. All the other covenants are made exclusively with the genome of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and nobody else.
Well, it holds true with these olive trees here.
Yes, exactly.
Because they are all of the same basic seed line. Now, they had gone wild when they went into apostasy. And
yes,
they were coming back and breaking out of apostasy and repenting.
Amen.
So the forgiveness means, I just did a wake-up call on forgiveness, means they will be regrafted in because they are of the seed line, because you cannot graft and get olives if you graft on a limb from a peach tree. It will not bear the same fruit.
Yeah, it'll be peaches, yeah.
And, you know, if you want olives, you have to stick with the olives.
Right. And even there...
And the only seed line that he made a covenant with was Israel.
Amen. The olive
tree. Or people that led up to being Israel. Abraham, he wasn't an Israelite because Israel wasn't born yet. Right. He wasn't a Jew because Judah hadn't been born yet. And that's a takeoff and a perversion of the name of Judah.
Sure.
To the subtleness of the seed of the serpent to steal our birthright by impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
And they've told the big lie long enough, and the Judeo-Christians believe them.
Yes, yes.
Much to their hurt.
Yes, amen, amen. Okay, number 11. Christian identity teaches that the flood of Noah was local, not global, and all, you know, Bertrand Comparé, Dr. Wesley Swift, all of them taught that the flood was local. The deluge was global, but the flood that lifted Noah's ark up into the water, that was local. That only happened locally. Yeah, there was a lot of flooding all over the world, but not as bad as in this area here.
There were massive heavy rains, caused a lot of the rivers to rise, but it did not cover the tops of the mountains. It covered the tops of the low hills in the Tarim Basin.
Yes, yes.
And many nations have records of this, the Chinese and the Indians, and yes, the Pakistanis. They all teach about this because they were in that area. They talk about the rivers in China swelling from the rains,
mm-hmm,
but it didn't wipe out all civilization in the known world. It only wiped out the genetic experimentationism that was going on in the Tarim Basin, which was the Nephilim base of operations for their scientific experiments. So when they say it'll be as in the days of Noah, while they were doing genetically experimentation then, we have that same thing now.
Right.
And they had Adamites that were aiding and abetting the Nephilim, the children of the fallen ones.
Right.
And we have white people today, Adamites, that are aiding and abetting the Jew and their system.
That's right.
Willingly, they're carrying firearms
for the money
to kill other Adamites, just as they do in war, having Adamites slaughtering Adamites to eliminate the race of Adam, which is the basic agenda.
Right. And there were giants in those days, folks.
Right? Yep.
There were. Okay. So CI teaches that the flood of Noah was local, not global, and that all of the pre-existing nations and peoples survived the flood. Thus, Christian identity sees no contradiction between the Bible and natural history, and I could add here natural science. All right?
Correct.
So, right, and it's bad Bible scholarship and bad science that have been duking it out since, what was that trial in Tennessee, or was it in Kentucky? The Scopes trial, Clarence Darrow, yeah, on one side.
Yep.
And who was the famous politician and religious leader on the other? But since those days, William Jennings Bryan. Since those days, because the scientific establishment and the Jews have been trying to suppress biblical evidence and archaeological evidence, the theory of evolution has gained a foothold which it absolutely does not deserve. It's not science at all. So, but
well, again, the theory of evolution was propounded by Charles Darwin. And Darwin himself, in his last days, when he was ready to kick off, refuted his own theory and said he was in error.
Yes.
But they don't teach that either, do they?
No, they don't. No, they don't. Well, he said that if we don't find any of these missing links, then my theory is false. And none of these missing links that are required for one species to evolve into another have never been found. Although there have been hoaxes along those lines as well. Okay? Scientists have created intermediate species by, you do an archaeological dig and you just mix the bones of different species into the same dig, right? Voila, we found a missing link. No, they didn't. It was a lie. Piltdown Man is an example. It was an archaeological hoax by scientists. Just like the Smithsonian has been hoaxing us for 160 years, folks.
And it's like the black Israelites. We was kings.
Right.
We was kings.
Right.
In our great kingdom. Well, right. What great kingdom and where was it?
Right.
And where's the archaeological evidence that it existed?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Oh, you is prejudice. You is a hater.
Right.
You must be a Nazi.
Right. Not so. Right. Conspiracy theorist.
Don't dare question. Just accept everything we say as fact.
Right. Right. Yeah. And a Holocaust denier on top of it.
Yeah. Right.
They draw all kinds of false conclusions. Right. Right. Okay. Number 12. CI denies the possibility that all races evolved from either Adam and Eve or from later on Noah and his family. These ideas are both unscientific and anti-scriptural. Again, we've been talking about
bogus,
evolution.
Bogus, if you have two Adamic people of pure seed line, they're not going to produce a Negro.
That's right. Neither will two Negroes.
They were here before.
And neither will Adam and Steve produce a Negro.
they
might have.
Not me.
No, so I didn't mean you.
No.
They might adopt one, right? But they can't produce one. All right. So this is nonsense. Genetics proves without any doubt that the genomes of these particular races, as are the genomes of all species, plant and animal, designed to reproduce themselves, not to evolve. And when you have genetic mutations, those genetic mutations either die, if they survive, or if they survive, they're typically sterile, such as a mule. Okay? So all of the known evidence is totally against evolution, yet they teach this garbage as if it were truth in the schools.
They are relentless.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Number 13, CI is not a cult.
Nope, not even close.
No, we're not like Eckhart Seminars training. Or what's the one out in California that all the actors belong to where you have to give them your life savings, leave your family, and join the cult, and live on the compound? The actors people, so many have joined it.
Scientology?
So, there you go, Scientology, yes. Christian identity is nothing like that. The fact is Christian identity is mainstream, middle class, pro-white Christianity.
Yeah, cults suppress thought.
Yes.
We try to teach people to think.
That's amen.
Think for yourself. Doubt what we say. Look it up for yourself. Research it. Don't believe us. Research it for yourself. Yeah. When you get done with all that work,
right,
you're going to say, oh, well, they were right.
Cults demand that you follow their doctrine, and if you don't, they'll kick you out or beat you, right, until you do.
Democrats.
Yeah,
Democratic Party,
yes. There you go, okay. A cult is defined by dogmatism, idol worship, or personality worship, such as Jim Jones, okay? I don't think any of our leaders have
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, right. He's a cult leader too. That's right. Typically, cult leaders demand that their followers abandon other forms of worship. Christian identity, on the contrary, is focused on Scripture. Those pastors who deviate from Scripture routinely get criticism from their own flock and from other CI ministers. In other words, if one CI pastor is teaching something that's goofy or shady, then he'll hear about it from other CI ministers or from his own flock, right? Our people are not shy about criticizing pastors.
Yeah, okay? None of our people are not scared to call BS on somebody.
That's right. That's right. All CI adherents are free to leave their congregations at any time. Donations are accepted as within any mainstream church. CI is based on Scripture, not pastor worship or leader worship. Nor does CI ask its adherents to abandon reason in favor of unprovable doctrines such as evolution young earth creationism. Those are the two dogmas that are duking it out. And the academic world and the media are designed that you must choose one or the other, as if there were no other alternative between evolution and young earth creationism. That is six literal day creationism. Okay. We know those aren't the only two alternatives. And those are both cults, by the way. Both of those are cults.
Well, the King James cult.
Yeah, there you go.
People out there that will physically do you harm or try to take your life if you question the King James.
Right.
That's an inspired word of God. Right. You say anything against King James, you got a demon.
Right.
You got a demon.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Even Ron Wyatt got death threats because, you know, he claimed to have found the Ark of the Covenant. Right? I mean, come on, man. You know, whether it's true or not, you don't give people death threats for making such claims.
You call BS on the guy. Yeah, I think you're full of it.
Yeah, but not death threats.
You know, it's not a take it or leave it thing.
Yeah, so we don't threaten anybody.
We challenge people to think.
Right.
And we have said over and over and over on our shows, if you find an error, please let us know. So we can get on the air and correct it if we find that you are correct.
Yeah, right.
And I have done so on my Word to Word show. I misread something.
Right.
I misread something so badly in one of the Psalms, I re-recorded the show.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because I had missed something. And right. Brother Hebert pointed it out to me. I said, man. I'd left one word out, and it changed the whole context of the passage.
Right? It can. Yes, one
and,
word can.
And if it's not absolute truth, I don't want to present it as anything that is of my workings. I am an Adam. I make mistakes occasionally. I misread something and left a word out. I put the wrong word in.
Right. Yes.
And I had to bite the bullet, erase the show, and re-record it and replace it.
At least you didn't shoot the bullet. No. Right?
No, I'm not allowed to do that.
That magic trick where you catch a shot bullet, right, in your teeth. Okay. Seven of None says, shooting our cousins has been sort of a trick. Yeah, we've been killing each other. Well, ever since the breakup of the House of Judah and the House of Israel, our people still haven't learned.
The deceivers came in and pitted us against one another. They were with us then. They're with us now.
Amen. Yeah,
their goal is the genocide of the white race, either by war or miscegenation, the breeding out of the pure stock.
That's right. That's right. Stuart 41 says, once I heard a white couple say that they have 14 children. He said, as hard as they try, they were unable to have an Oriental child. So if you're going to be a failure at something, do something you enjoy. He was only joking about the Oriental Child. At least he knew better. Okay. So, folks, yeah, there's history is just one big hoax. All right? Orthodox history is nothing but one big Jew hoax. That's all it is. All right, yeah. Number 14.
Well, they use the Mishnah, which is stories.
Yes.
And it warns, don't believe Jewish fables.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And evolution is indeed a Jewish fable. So is the idea that Ham, Shem, and Japheth were all of different races. That's a Jewish fable. The Jews invented that fable. All right? Yeah. That's the way it is, folks. All right. Number 14, CI accepts both the Old Testament and the New Testament. How quaint. In the original Hebrew and Greek writings, as the inspired word of God, with the prophecies and everything, we reject the notion that either testament is preferable to the other, or that one or the other testament is obsolete. Or, I would add, that one testament is understandable without the other. Your comment.
They are linked. They are absolutely linked. You can't claim to be a New Testament Christian because the New Testament is based on the Old Testament.
That's right.
Christ taught the Torah and the prophets and quoted them constantly.
Yes. So. Yes. And all the symbolism in the New Testament is found in the Old Testament as well. Okay, olive oil, olive trees, you know, all of the symbolism continues. And the reason, I think one of the reasons why it's there's a separation, there's an idea of a separation, is because there was a 400-year, lapse or missing stuff, which is actually contained in the Apocrypha. If you actually read the Apocrypha, you'll find there really isn't anything missing.
But well, that's the testimony between the testaments.
That's right. That's right. And because one is in Hebrew and the other is in Greek. But that's really all it is. From that point on, there really is no deviation of doctrine whatsoever from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Well, the Greek is a copy of Hebrew, because the New Covenant was written in Hebrew first, but the materials that were used to write upon disintegrated over time due to natural processes. They were organic materials, and they didn't survive. So they had copied it in the Greek, and when you're reading the Greek, you have to keep the Hebrew mindset in context that they used words to try to come close to the meaning of the Hebrew. Well, sometimes it doesn't quite make it. And when they quote passages from the Old Testament, they've changed the passages somewhat because of the lacking in the Greek of the mindset of the Hebrew. So you have to go back to the Old Testament and read it as it is in the Hebrew and do the corrections to the Greek.
Yes. Yes. It should reflect the Hebrew, yes.
That is correct. It should mirror the Hebrew. Could be Yeshua quoted Psalms and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Malachi. He quoted all of that because the New Covenant text was not in existence at that time. It was written much later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
By the writings that that people were reading of the apostles.
Right, right. There's an interesting passage here from James 3:12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Or a vine, figs? Of course, he means a grapevine. So no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Which is very long, much along the lines, can the leopard change its spots? Okay?
That's right.
The Bible tells us, folks, that genetics breed true. That's what the Bible is telling us.
And
real
it goes
science.
Back to the basic law of nature in Genesis, in the beginning, each kind unto its kind.
Amen. Amen.
Or better said, each species unto its species.
There you go. Right. The seed, the species that have their seed within themselves and reproduce according to their own kind. Okay. Number 15. Christian identity teaches that the name of God, Yahweh, the Hebrew tetragrammaton, YHWH, has been deliberately obscured by the Masoretes of Judaism and by faulty Christian scholarship. We seek to revive the use of this name as it was given to us in Exodus 3:15. The Jewish teaching that Yahweh's name is too holy to be pronounced is an anti-scriptural dogma that cannot be found in the Bible. On the contrary, Scripture tells us to publish and praise his holy name.
It is my name and my title and my remembrance forevermore.
Yes. And nowhere does it say the Bible, the holy name is too holy to be pronounced. That is a Talmudic doctrine, not a biblical.
And it says, he who calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved.
Amen.
Not the Lord.
Right.
Yahweh.
Not Baal, right?
Nope.
Or Cannabale, right? Only those of us who use his name. And, of course, Yahweh means I am that I am, and Yahshua means I am salvation. And the Jews reject, I think the Jews hate the name of Yahshua even more than they hate the name of Yahweh. But they actually hate both names. Which is the real reason.
Well, that name spells their doom.
That's right. Because they will not be saved.
As Yahweh said, Hayah Asher Hayah, I will be what I will be, or I will be whatever I please.
Yes.
And he manifested himself as the burning bush, as the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, avenging angels, those are manifestations of power.
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit and Yahshua Messiah in the flesh. The Word took on flesh.
Right.
Remember that. He's not Yahweh. He's a part of Yahweh. As we are a part of Yahweh.
Right. Yes.
Doesn't mean we're all of Yahweh or we're the Father, but we have a little spark of him because he breathed it into the Adam, and all the resulting children of the Adam have that spark.
Well, again, it gets back to the image of the vine, the tree, the vine, the branches, that that language is exclusive to Israel, and we, therefore, are a part of that quote-unquote tree, okay? It is a living tree, and it is a genetic tree at the same time. Okay? That's how Yahweh designed it.
That's they don't understand how the Hebrews phrase things.
Yes, right.
They want to take everything literal, and they want to take the King James translation,
right,
or perversion,
right.
I call it, King James perversion, as literal. It's a holy word of God. Yeah, what God?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Baal.
Baal.
Lord. The Lord.
Lucifer. Halel.
The Lord. L-A-W-D, right?
The Lord. Praise the Lord.
Right. Number 16. CI teaches that the Bible was written to, by, for, and about Israel exclusively, and that the Jewish people are not and cannot be identified with Israel. Thus, the Jewish claim to the authorship and stewardship of the Bible is fraudulent.
Like everything else.
Yeah, everything else. Everything they do.
They inserted the word Jew. The word Jew is never in the original Testament.
That's right.
Old
that's,
or new covenant.
It's a translated word.
They put it in there.
Yes, yes. We have 10 minutes. I think we can get the rest of these in there. CI teaches that Mosaism and Judaism are antithetical doctrines, with the Mosaic law being Yahweh's own law. Jewish law, on the other hand, presumes to overrule Yahweh's Mosaic law. Despite Judaism's claims, Christianity is the sole inheritor of the Mosaic tradition. Your comment?
Well, that's what we are trying to revive, because we keep the feasts. We keep the fast of the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
We keep the food laws. We keep the Shabbat day. We've gone through great trouble, not myself personally, but others, to go back and delineate the Enoch solar calendar.
Right.
To get the Sabbath day correct. Right now, it's on Tuesday. It was on Monday last year, but at the equinox, it changes.
Yeah, evening to evening, right, yes.
And then it goes evening to evening, and today, this year, it's on what you call Tuesday in the Gregorian calendar by the pagan name.
The goddess Tu. Right.
No, it's Taya's day.
Taya's. Okay.
That's a Norse goddess.
Right. The Norse goddess. All the days of the week.
Moon's day, Taya's day, Woden's day, Thor's day, Freya's day, and Saturn's day, and Sun day
all
for the sun
pagan,
god.
All pagan days. The Hebrews
all pagan days.
Did not have pagan names for their days. They just had six regular days and a Sabbath. That's it.
Day one, day two, day three, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. So anybody who claims that the Hebrews had named days of the week simply doesn't understand.
Same with the months.
Right.
The month names that they put in are pagan names. Tammuz.
Right.
The Babylonian sun god.
Right. Tammuz, wasn't he the son of, was that Nimrod's wife? And I can't remember now.
Semiramis.
Semiramis, exactly. All right. So, so you see how modern religion, in fact, ancient religion, is always blending, distorting true religion.
January for Janus, the two-faced god.
That's right. Right.
And Roman god.
July for Julius Caesar. Right.
August for Caesar Augustus.
Yeah.
Onward and onward and onward, just over and over.
Right. And December...
Come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate.
Right. December used to stand for 10, as Detzi, but when Julius Caesar added July, and I think he also added June, right in the middle of the calendar, that added two more months. So it no longer means 10. It now is the 12th month. Okay. All right. I love doing calendar studies. It may not be meaningful, but I love it anyway. All right. Okay, so true Christianity is the sole inheritor of the Mosaic tradition, not Judaism, folks. Not Judaism.
That's correct.
Yeah, Judaism is the, replacement theology, not Christianity. We're the inheritor. We're the inheritors, not the Jews. Number 18, Christian identity believes in all of the prophecies of both Old and New Testaments, including the fact that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. Okay.
Yes, he is. He fulfills all of them.
That's right.
There's and not of course, one that he didn't fulfill.
And this is one area where we agree with the Judeo-Christians. However, the Jews do not accept Yahshua at all in any way, shape, or form, even as a teacher. All right, they don't even concede that he was a good teacher. Right, they teach he's burning in hell in excrement. All right, which must be India. Right, okay.
Yeah, right on the street.
Yeah, dude. There you go. Right,
nasty,
nasty
let's
culture.
Let's not go there.
We won't go there. Number 19, the Old Testament food laws should be obeyed for proper health.
Why would you want to eat poison?
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh teaches us what to eat, so we don't get the diseases that certain animals carry.
Right. Right. And other
and
races.
And certain animals retain the toxin.
Oh, yeah. Like
within
pigs.
Their bodies, mm-hmm. like swine and catfish and shellfish.
Yeah.
Where but do you think the mercury poisoning comes from eating tainted shellfish?
Yes.
Because it doesn't harm them. They retain it to clean the water for us.
Right. Yeah.
But if you eat those poisoned animals, you're going to get that poison.
Yeah.
So why would you go eat poison?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're Yahweh's living sewage system. They take all that junk that's on the bottom of the ocean floor or in the riverbed or the lake floor and digest it. But that poison goes into their flesh, so that's why we're not supposed to eat it. Right? And that goes for crawfish. Right? That goes for crawfish, too. Right? All those...
Jambalaya, like, yeah, right. Crawfish pie, Philly gumbo.
Right? None of that sounds good.
Nope.
All right? Okay, one more. Number 20. Christian Identity believes that Christianity should be an integral part of our national life. A false tradition of separation of church and state has risen. Almost all of our state constitutions declare Christianity, at least the original 13 did, is the official state religion and that only Christians can hold public office. The Bill of Rights, First Amendment, states that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. This means that the government has no authority to interfere in matters of religion. Separation of church and state, which is fictitious language not contained in the U.S. Constitution, has been used to promote the exact opposite policy. America was founded as a Christian nation, period.
Freedom of religion, not freedom from.
There you go.
Religion.
Yes, right. Right. And those two things mean exactly the opposite, don't they? Right?
Yep. And
Thomas Jefferson, use that phrase, separation of church and state, innocently, and it has been used by the Jews to promote separation of church from state. Okay.
Well, the state is not to mess with the religion.
That's right.
Or hold sway over it, but the religious leaders are to be leaders in the government.
That's right. Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
The opposite of what they teach.
Right. And we had, of course, even though Jefferson was in Virginia, was an Anglican state or a colony before it actually became a state.
Correct.
The state of Virginia rejected the oversight of the Anglican Church over the state of Virginia and became a true state in which, Christians are to hold office. But no particular denomination is to dominate over any of the others or over the people. That's the concept. That's what is intended by
That's
the Constitution,
correct.
Folks. Okay, and nothing else. Doesn't religion, the original founders, considered as Christianity, they did not consider Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism to be religion. They considered those things to be heathenism. So only Christianity is the
same
true.
Way with Islam.
That's right.
Islam is, they do not worship the same God that we do. Their laws are
completely
in
different.
Some small parts similar to ancient Hebrew laws, but women dressing modestly, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But they've gone so far to the extreme and added their violent precepts to
right.
it.
Right.
That it is a large danger.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And their view is if you are not one of them, they're going to cut your head off.
They do teach against usury. However, they believe in race mixing just as much as the Jews
do.
They
teach against it, but they still do it.
they put their money in Jew-owned banks and collect interest, don't they? All right. Okay, folks. I hope you've enjoyed this series. We've gotten through all 20 items here of the theological principles of Christian identity. I hope you've enjoyed this series. And we're not sure whether Pastor Greg will be back next week. We'll just wing it. If he shows up, we'll continue our series on the Apocalypse of Baruch. Otherwise, Pastor Steve and I will select another great topic of Christian identity. All right.
Yeah, okay. Bring the old war horse out of the barn.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Greg's got a job that interferes occasionally.
Right.
But in these times, a man's got to do what he's got to do.
Yes, amen. Okay, we're actually out of time. So thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Shalom aleichem.
I forgot that I can't play the music. All right. So I got to get that fixed. I don't know what's wrong.